This is about Kamala Harris's judgment. And I think that when you ask, why has Kamala Harris allowed the border to be wide open? Why has Kamala Harris supported policies that have promoted the increase in inflation? I think it goes to the heart of her judgment. And I think that that's what we should be talking about.
One last question. Donald Trump didn't serve in the military. He received a medical draft deferment for bone spurs to avoid serving in the Vietnam War, reportedly as a favor to his father. Do you find that shameful, too?
I think that Donald Trump didn't serve in the military, but he didn't lie about it, Dana. I've known Donald Trump for a long time.
You
he really
he,
honors our
so
veterans.
You think
he honors
had bones
me for
first?
My service. Donald Trump didn't lie about serving in the military. He didn't say that he went to Vietnam when he didn't. This is the problem. I don't criticize anybody, whether they served our country or not. I think it's honorable to serve, but obviously a lot of people have reasons for not serving. I criticize somebody for embellishing their record, for lying, saying, I went to war. Dana, do you think that it's a problem that he said, I went to war, but he didn't actually? That seems to be a problem to me.
Well, they've corrected that.
This is
no, they haven't corrected it. I mean, why in the hell are you rat bastards running cover for this? I'm so tired of this nonsense. I'm so damn tired. Every flipping day when I get on this damn program, I have one of these absolute rat bastards on the press that sit here and run cover for these absolute clown cars that are in Washington, D.C. Do your damn jobs, you absolute welfare queens. I'm tired of it. I get so aggravated. I mean, sit here. Well, they corrected it. No, whose ass are you kissing? Seriously, unstick your lips from her ass and just do your job. I'm so tired of it. Good night. It's just asinine. I get aggravated, Kane. I get aggravated at all of this stuff, as you can tell.
It is Monday, after all. I can relate.
Yeah, that's it. It is. It's Monday. God help us all. It's Monday, and we're just now getting started. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you here. And we are at the top of this first hour. But that was the big audio soundbite that we had coming in. It was J.D. Vance. And he did some really good media hits when he was talking with members of the media. He had some really good hits and I thought that was a really good one, because when you these people like, oh well, she changed it, she fixed it, and it's like no they didn't change it. All they did was like try to retcon what they had on the website, and there was a couple other things too. They tried to change what was on the website. They tried to change a few. I mean, he had a challenge coin, for crying out loud. We're going to get into all of this. So welcome, top of the show. I've been mad about that since I saw that interview. I've been mad about it since I saw the interview. And you know what gets me? I'm not done yet. So you're going to have to deal with it. You know what really gets me with this is that you have these people. You have like the people like the Dana Bashes and all of this. I'm going to say my name how I want to, and that run out there and they run cover for these lawmakers instead of asking questions of these lawmakers. I mean, he was right. He's like, your top three questions had to do with her not taking questions from the press or about Kamala Harris. I mean, you could just ask her. You know, you could just ask her as a member, you know, you're in the press, do your job. And what was the other cut? Because we have, what was it, five? I think it was five. When she was like, well, there aren't any media lies about Donald Trump. Yeah, listen to this. This was nuts.
The second thing, Dana, is I believed, and I'm ashamed of it, I believed a lot of the media lies about Donald Trump in 2016. I believe that he said things like, for example, the media said Donald Trump accused all Mexicans of being rapists and criminals. You actually look at what he said, he did not say that at all. And I think it's important when you see something, you change your mind, and that's all I've done. And my pitch to the American people would be, I imagine a lot of folks who are thinking about voting for Donald Trump in 2024, maybe they've bought in to the media lies about him. Think for yourself, look at what he actually said, and I think you'll find that he's, one, a very engaging guy, but two, was a very good president.
There aren't media lies. We play him and we let him speak for himself, and so people are getting exactly.
I'm not accusing you of lying, Dana.
I know
I like you, but
no,
the media
I know you're
lies
not.
From time to time
I know you're
about
not, but
Donald
people,
Trump.
He's
people
very nice. I wouldn't be. I mean, whose side are you on? There aren't media. There aren't media lies. Yes, there are. There are absolutely media lies. there are media lies. I don't know who you think you're fooling here. I mean, I'm just glad that I thought he did a very good job on the campaign trail, by the way. I thought it was I thought he did a good job with that. But I honestly get super aggravated about all of it because I've been doing this for my first radio program was in October of 2008, and I've been doing it for that long. And I get super aggravated when I see these people in the media that try to run defense for these politicians, for candidates. And these are the same people. They only do their job, but then they don't even really do their job, as you know. They don't get antagonistic until it's like a Republican in elected office. And then they act like they're the journalists that they've always been doing this. But look how quickly. Did you see the Time magazine cover? The Time magazine cover, which I think Juan has, the Time magazine cover is insane. It has Kamala Harris on the front of it. And it's, a new Kamala. I told you it was going to be like this, but it's still, you're never prepared for it, are you? It's still pretty amazing. The Time magazine cover, she's on the front of it, and they make it out like she's Joan of Arc or something insane. Like, I mean, the way that they're portraying her is crazy. And so the media has gone above and beyond to rehabilitate her, to retcon her, to do whatever they need to make sure that they can get her across the finish line. And the press attention that she has received is just amazing. We're going to talk more about this because they're doing it with Tim Walz as well. I can't imagine, you have Walz out. I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but he was just completely, utterly destroyed over the weekend by an individual. First off, he misprinted his rank as command sergeant on his congressional challenge coin. Remember, they kept saying that it wasn't him that was doing this, etc. Then you had more campaign literature come out. And then someone said that they were looking up at Walz's battalion commander. And the battalion, his own battalion commander, his direct supervisor, actually came out and blasted him. He posted on, I think this was like on, what was it, Twitter or Facebook? I think it was Facebook. This was Instagram. He said, quote, feeling a need to say this. This is John Cole, and he's Walz's battalion commander, his direct supervisor. And he comes out and says, and he's retired Colonel John Cole, Minnesota Army National Guard. He wrote, quote, I do not regret that Tim Walz retired early from the Minnesota Army National Guard, did not complete the Sergeant's Major Academy, broke his enlistment contract, and did not successfully complete any assignment as Sergeant Major. Unwittingly, he got out of the way for better leadership. Thomas Berenz was the right leader at the right time. He sacrificed to answer the call, leaving his family, his business, his farming partner, brother to train, lead, and care for soldiers. He earned the privilege of being called Command Sergeant Major, he said. Like a great leader, he ran toward and not away from the guns. I have no opinion of Mr. Walz's decision to leave service at the time he did. It was his right to retire early. I also have no criticism of his service as an E7 and an E8 in the MNARNG. By all accounts and on the record, he was a competent chief of firing battery, gunnery sergeant, first sergeant. I cannot say the same of his service sitting frocked in the CSM chair. He did not earn the rank or successfully complete any assignment as an E9, and it is an affront to the non-commissioned officer corps that he continues to glom onto the title. I can sit in the cockpit of an airplane. It does not make me a pilot. Similarly, when the demands of service and leadership at the highest level got real, he chose another path. Hashtag not my CSM. That is a nuclear blast. And you know what's amazing about all of this? Is that the rat bastards in the media, they didn't find this guy. If it was a Republican, if it was anyone else, they would have. They didn't look him up. They didn't find him. No one in the media found him. The same media that shielded Kamala Harris didn't go and find him. He outed himself on Facebook. He came out and outed himself on Facebook. No one in the media is interested in Tim Walz's stolen valor. No one in the media is interested in him fabricating his service record. He didn't just misspeak. He printed it on a challenge coin. He printed it on his congressional materials. He was in ad after ad after ad saying the same thing. He was on the campaign trail when he was running for House of Representatives saying this. He was on the campaign trail when he was running for governor saying this over and over and over and over. And where, pray tell, are the attack dogs for the people? Where, pray tell, are all of those back-patting Pulitzer Prize sopping up horrible excuses for a free press? They're not looking this up. They're not asking these questions. They're not going out and finding retired Colonel John Kolb. Have you seen retired Colonel Kolb anywhere on MSNBC, on CNN, on MSNBC, on ABC, on anywhere? Have you? Have you seen him? You haven't. And why is that? Because these people, this so-called free press, that want to pretend that what they do is so sacred, they want to act like, you know, they are somehow the last bastion of freedom in this country, that they are the modern-day oracles at Delphi, that these people are the real truth tellers. They have no interest in introducing America to any of these people that actually know Tim Walz, that either served with Tim Walz, served under Tim Walz, or served after Tim Walz, or even people in his own state that are currently with him. They are not interested in any of these people because their priority isn't you. It's not even to this fake thing that we call a free press, because people who are tied and tethered to a political ideology are not free. It's not to the Constitution. It's not to the tenets of this free republic. It is to power adjacency, because they want to be adjacent to power. Because they want to be able to be the bullies. They want to be on what they believe is the winning side. That's what it's ever been about with these people. These are activists who couldn't cut it in the activist world, so they decided to go into journalism. That is why you haven't heard about John Kolb. John Kolb told you about himself. He wasn't going to wait around for Dana Bash to schedule an interview with him. He wasn't going to wait around for Jake Tapper to schedule an interview with him. He wasn't going to wait around for Katie Couric to schedule an interview with him or anybody else in the legacy press. He just came out and spoke for himself. And fascinatingly, none of this is anywhere this morning on any of those big networks, is it? No, but they're all about, let's talk to J.D. Vance about Kamala Harris. What do you think, J.D., about this? That, or what you said this statement 6 years ago. But notice, you don't get the same thing with Tim Walz. In fact, there hasn't been a sit-down interview with Tim Walz. There hasn't been an open Q&A with Tim Walz. There hasn't been an open Q&A with Kamala Harris. This whole thing is a joke. It is an absolute joke. You have every right to ridicule and to discourteously as possible treat the legacy press, because not only do they deserve it, they earned it. And it is part of your obligation as a citizen of this free republic. Unbelievable. So, yes, they're going to do everything that they can to protect their trash. And I don't feel like I should be. I don't even feel the need, obviously, to be courteous anymore about this. I'm tired of it. I'm sitting here, I don't know about you, I'm sitting here trying to plan, you know, our family's finances several years in advance. And I have to sit here and hold breath and wait to see if my tax rate's going to double after November. While people put out these magazine covers of Kamala Harris. And while they sit here and they excuse Tim Walz's stolen valor, that absolute FUD. Now, we're going to talk about all of this and more. Some of the other things that we have coming up, the media, the economy. Can we just stop with the no tax on tips thing? It's stupid. Let's just get rid of the damn income tax. Don't sit here and flirt around on the fringes. Either go whole hog or STF you. Okay? We're going to get into all of that. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies." Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it hits hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So first up, this is just something that happens almost, you know, every single day now at this point. Now in the UK, because they're having major, major issues with their stupid, flaccid leadership. And this is what happens also when you don't have a Second Amendment. They're arresting people on speech. They're arresting people for criticizing, you know, the violence that led to some of the protests, etc. So now, according to new figures, there's over 700 illegal immigrants who arrive in the UK. In fact, one in 11 different boats in a single day, according to new figures. And they're paying people thousands to get them across the channel in small boats. And you have their prime minister, Keir Starmer, who said, oh, he's going to smash the gangs that are paying. No, he's probably going to get a kickback from them because that's what he does. Also, this Boeing, why? Gets a $2.5 billion contract from the U.S. Air Force for an E-7A wedge-tail aircraft. Why? Why are they getting contracts? Yeah, why are they, Kane? Kane, what has been the make of plane that has been like falling out of the sky? And
you mean the ones
issues?
Without bolts on the wings and the pop out of the door while in flight, that sort of thing? Oh, that's a Boeing.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I thought it was something else that maybe. Okay, that's right. Okay, so they got a $2.5 billion contract from the U.S. Air Force. The U.S. Air Force. It includes life cycle development, training, and support for the U.S. E-7A fleet, according to the company in a statement. Well, that's good. You know, people are getting rewarded. We're entering an AI price-fixing dystopia, apparently. They said that this is an interesting thing about the markets. They said that a lot of people, landlords, etc., are using they're using AI to set the price. Enable AI-enabled price-fixing conspiracies is something else to look forward to in the real estate market. Yay. An Alaska Airlines flight diverted after the pilot shockingly confessed that he wasn't qualified to land the plane.
What?
Okay, so I thought it was just Boeing. Maybe it's now just people. Yeah, it was the SkyWest regional partner. They had issues. They had to give him some help. We got a lot more on the way. Stick with us. Our partners over at Hillsdale College, an actual educational institution. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan. You don't have to be on their campus all the way up in Michigan in order to take advantage of everything that they have to offer at Hillsdale. In fact, they have all sorts of free resources online for you. And the cool thing, too, if you are a student of history, if you like history, if you like anything particularly related to the War of Independence or the Revolution, all of that, then they've got a video up at Dana4hillsdale.com. And it's a portrayal of Thomas Jefferson. He was a prolific letter writer. And it's based on a very real letter that he wrote towards the end of his life to a colleague where he was reflecting upon the meaning of the Declaration of Independence and its applications for the future. It's a really fascinating deep dive for you that Hillsdale offers. And when you go to their website and view the video, you can get a free commemorative copy of the Declaration of Independence from Hillsdale as well. And Hillsdale, founded in 1844, to offer the kind of education needed to preserve the liberties that we enjoy. And they hold true to that mission today. Type in Dana4Hillsdale.com to view this video, and you'll get a free commemorative copy of the Declaration from Hillsdale to keep or pass on. Limited time offer, though, so don't delay. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I believe that Kamala Harris is whatever she says she is, but I believe importantly that President Trump is right that she's a chameleon. She pretends to be one thing in front of one audience. She pretends to be something different in front of another audience. Look, Dana, she's not running a political campaign. She's running a movie. She only speaks to voters behind a teleprompter. Everything is scripted. She doesn't have her policy positions out there. She hasn't answered why she wanted to ban fracking, but now she doesn't. She wanted to fund police, but now she doesn't. She wanted to open the border, but now she doesn't. She should have to answer for why she presents a different set of policies to one audience and a different set of policies to another audience. And I think that's what President Trump is getting at. This is a fundamentally fake person. She's different depending on who she's in front of.
That was a good take on that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. At the bottom of this first hour, you can listen coast to coast. We also got the simulcast up, Channel 347, and Rumble and X. Rumble's where the discussion happens. It's where the discussion takes place. Two things. My first thought, I was thinking this while I was talking. Do you know what you know who he is, J.D. Vance? Do you know who he is in this election cycle? He is the more disciplined, distilled Trump.
Yes.
Think about it. Let's all be honest for just a split second. It's his strength and his weakness, the impresario-esque nature of Trump. And he goes out and does all this stuff and he can talk to people for forever, et cetera, et cetera. But also he can completely lose focus, discipline, and the messaging just goes over the hill and into the woods. All right. We know that. J.D. Vance, though, is like a more distilled, disciplined Trump. You know it, right? Because he goes out there and he'll answer a question and they try to take him off of it. And I'm not saying this. I don't like to be fanboys with people. And I'm not being a fanboy with him. But he's very, very disciplined. That's a strength. He's very disciplined. He gets out there. I don't care what you think of him. You know, even the left's got to be admiring it a little bit. He's an absolute asset to the campaign. He goes out there and he stays focused and he smiles. He's a happy warrior. I don't know if he's had media training or what, but that is the exact type of that he has to project. What do they get him on? Think about this for a moment. Oh, you're weird. Well, hell, isn't everybody? Isn't everybody weird, right? Everybody does weird things, right? Like, I don't like odd numbers because I feel like somebody's left out. Something's left out. I got to keep it, you know, even numbers. Everything's got to have a buddy. You know what I mean? Am I the only one that does that? Everybody's weird. Everybody's got weird stuff. Like Kane with his tinfoil. Weird. And it's just complete, just innate distrust of elderly people.
I'd argue. Weird. I'd argue that.
You know? I mean, it's just like Steve is so joyful all the time. It's weird, right? Juan is so pure. It's weird, you know? Like, everybody's weird. Everybody's
None
got a
that
weird
is
thing.
Weird what you said. Nothing is weird about what you said.
Yeah, it is.
None of it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we live in, like, the industry we work in, we feel like we got to protect Juan and Steve, because Steve's like, hi, guys. And he's like Tigger from Winnie the Pooh. Hi, guys. He's just so happy all the time. And we're like, golly, it's a Monday. And he's like, yeah, yay. It's weird.
That shouldn't be weird.
It's weird. Come on.
That should be normal. We should normalize stuff like that.
And you say you're Gen X. What's the matter with you? I don't think so. I'm going to be gatekeeper now.
You say you're Gen X.
Because I am. Oh, no. Don't you be gatekeeper with me. We're going to fight right now. We're going to fight. But my whole point is that that's all they've been able to say about him. I think if he was nasty and undisciplined in his messaging, they would be able to take their attacks a lot further. But they can't because he's like, nope, just not going to do it. And even when he's talking to Dana Bash, now most of us would already have been in rage mode. He wasn't. That's a skill. He's very disciplined. He is a kind of a disciplined Trump. The other thing, too, and this is I'm going to get right back on topic, but I just got to mention this because I saw it. It was a story that was happening over the weekend. It's since been, you know, it's frittered away. But people were trying to there was gossip as to whether or not he wore eyeliner. And his wife is like, no, you absolute morons. Those are his eyelashes, like at the bottom of his eye. He's not wearing eyeliner. And the second thought I had after watching that, reading about the story was, gosh, I would love to be so lucky. You know, you just wake up and you're like, woke up like this and, you know, looks like you have eyeliner on. That's maybe a chick thing or a goth baby Gen X thing. I don't know. But I was like, that's kind of neat. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Very disciplined. Very disciplined. Trump needs to be that. That's exactly what Trump needs to do. Oh my gosh. If both of them were that disciplined, this race is over. I don't think you guys realize that. This race would be over. It would be done. Just give me a couple of weeks of him being super hyper-disciplined. And it's done. It's a done deal. Wall Street Journal says the pool of undecided voters is shrinking. That sounds like a bad horror movie, doesn't it? Yeah. It's the pool of undecided voters. The race is on to reach the rapidly shrinking pool of undecided voters. Now, 6 weeks ago, Wall Street Journal polled and found that 28% of voters were up for grabs. They were not fully committed to any candidate yet. Late last month, only 15%, same pool, were up for grabs. Many people are starting to settle. Okay, another quick sidebar. Guys, I know you guys, everybody out there in Radio Land, everybody listening, even if you hate me, you all know where you are at, right? You know where you've been at. It's not like you have two people who are completely unknown. They're not two unknowns. You know where these people are. And the fact that people are still making up their minds is just staggering to me. But there's something to this. So they talked about positive views of Harris, Rose, late July, from early in the month up to 11 points to 46%. Positive views of Trump also increased 4 points. I think some of that has to do with, you know, maybe post assassination attempt, the addition of Vance. Trump had a really good week where he was very focused. And then people are just relieved that Biden's out of the way and it's Harris, even though they don't really like Harris. So I think some of it's a little bit of a honeymoon effect. However, one of the things that in talking about the focus and discipline of Republican messaging that they are going to have to really distill down is talking about her. And they, as I said, this is not a case of two unknowns. We know because we've already had one term of Trump and we have already had one term of Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, and the way that the Republicans need to present her, is running against herself. She wants to act like she's the outsider because she's the vice president and now she's kind of walking to the middle. And so she's sort of the maverick in all of this. That's what she's desperately trying to recraft herself as. And what Republicans need to do is say, no, this is someone who is soulless and selling out for whatever political victory she can get. She's running against herself. She's been in office for 4 years. Beyond that, she was in the Senate. And then beyond that, she was AG in California as well. So, you know, she's not an unknown. And this is where she's moving on all of these issues. You know, for instance, she tried to glom on. And I don't like the taps on the no tax on tips thing, because I think there should be no tax on your income. That's me. And I get mad when only one area is being serviced. That seems weird to me. So I don't like any of this. But I do think it's funny that she just plagiarized this. Audio soundbite 9.
And eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
Hospitality. Damn, did KJP write that for her? Hospitality. What is the hospitality industry? Well, it's like the hospital, but there's like hospitality in the hospital.
It's the utilities.
So it's like hospitable hospitality. It's what it is, you know. Hospitable hospitality. Same thing. Audio soundbite 10. This is why it sounds familiar to you. Listen.
For those hotel workers and people that get tips, you're going to be very happy, because when I get to office, we are going to not charge taxes on tips. People making tips. You do a great job of service. You take care of people. And I think it's going to be something that really is deserved. So those people that have jobs.
You know what gets me? I wish that we could just not have, like, let's just like get away from taxes at all, because I have my own issue with that. But what I'm talking about right here is she just decided to go with it. And everyone's like, wait a minute, have we heard this before? And the press is going, look at this brand new original idea from Kamala Harris. It's brand new and very original. So here's the funny thing you should know about this, though. She weaponized the IRS against all of this. The Inflation Reduction Act, the IRS is going to crack down on underreported tips. She, as presiding over the Senate, cast the tie-breaking vote on the bill that made the IRS, allowed them to crack down on underreported tips. She cast the deciding vote in favor of it. She could have killed it, and she didn't. She voted for it. So, wait a minute. I'm all confused now. Which way is she going here? I mean, she cast the tie-breaking vote for the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRS cracking down on underreported tips. That was part of, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, the thing that was never was about reducing the inflation. Nope. It secured $80 billion of new funding under these false pretenses. This is where they wanted 88,000 agents. They wanted to double the size of the IRS. All of this. This is where in the bill, because tipped employees, you have to pay both federal and payroll tax on the tips you get. And I worked in the service industry like all through college. Workers, you report tips to employers. That's why cash is king, y'all. Whenever you can, tip in cash. I'm not saying that we're skirting the system. No one's saying that. Wink, wink, nod. But the 15.3% payroll tax Workers report tips to their employers. They pay that tax to the IRS on the employee's behalf. They adjust the wage withholding to account for the taxes that they hold on tips. So to ensure compliance, they do this tip reporting program thing with the IRS. And so now they want to replace a lot of these existing programs and require employers to use these point of sale systems, these POS systems that they have in all of these establishments. So the POS would record all the sales subject to tipping, et cetera. And then they have to, employers, they have to use these transactions. They have to have a digital annual readout, like a very detailed readout that they send to the IRS. And they have to they're required to report tips exceeding, this is from IRS.gov, the minimum threshold that includes all electronic tips charged. You also have an estimate of the tips paid in cash, an estimate. And that's calculated on the amount of sales that were subject to cash tips. Now, she signed that. She passed it. Now, there was scrutiny on this. Heritage reported how when the IRS got that $80 billion in new funding, they were told that the funding was meant to crack down on the rich folks, right? The rich taxpayers and the rich corporations and the small businesses that made under, you know, 400K, they wouldn't have anything to worry about. You know, people who worked in hospitality or hospitality. What? How did she even say that? I don't even know how she said that. That they're not going to be subject to any of this. Well, that's a bunch of absolute garbage because they absolutely are. They absolutely are. IRS estimated that 10% of underreported individual income tax gap is from tips, even though that only accounts for a fraction of income, of U.S. income, like a fraction of a percent. So they're targeting all of that. She signed it. This is the stuff that Trump needs to hit. Like, okay, who is Kamala running against? She signed this bill. She was the determining vote. She had the authority. She had the discretion to say, no, I don't want this to pass. Presiding over the Senate tiebreaker vote, she voted for it. Now she's going to turn around and say that she wasn't for the thing that she was the tiebreaking vote for. Well, that didn't make any sense. And you can't undo it. She can sit here and go out and say, oh, I don't believe in Texas. You can't undo it. This is law now. So what is she going to do? That's what, if we had actual people in the media, not activists, they would be asking her, Vice President Harris, are you going to push for a repeal of this law that makes your promise about no taxation on tips impossible? You were the tie-breaking vote. How can you promise that you're not going to tax the tips when you were the deciding vote in favor of it? You think anybody's going to ask her this question? Do you think she's going to make herself available to be asked this question? Partners over at Black Rifle Coffee, the best coffee that you can drink, and you can save 20% using code Dana if you're a drinker, coffee drinker like many of us. It's roasted right here in the US of A. They get the best beans from all around the world. They bring them back here to the US of A and they roast them 5 days a week, Tennessee and Utah. And everything that they do, from the roast to the bag art, plays homage to American culture and military history. Got a variety of choices, ground whole bean K-cups, ready to drink, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Join the coffee club. Choose your roast, the frequency of shipment, have it shipped for free to your front door. You never, ever have to worry about running out of coffee again. See it for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com. Order and get 20% off using code Dana. Again, save 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Why are y'all voting for Kamala Harris?
I don't want to lose my rights. Like, I'm a trans man and I'm gay and I have been pregnant and I've had an abortion before and I don't want to lose that. I'm afraid of not being able to be myself anymore because from what I've heard, Trump's America doesn't want me to look like this. So that's why I'm here today. And
we don't care nobody cares what you look like. Just keep the craziness away from us. Like, what is, okay, let me help me break this down for a moment. Clearly it's a chick. It's a chick who wants to be a dude. She's a trans man who's gay. You're just a lesbian. Why do you got to try to add, like, that's like saying that you're a democratic socialist. It's like putting glitter on, well, democratic socialism is like putting glitter on a turd. To say that you're a trans man and you're gay, like, a lesbian is the real thing. Like, you just say you're a lesbian. Why is she, like, does she hate lesbians? It makes me think that there's, like, they think there's something wrong with being a You can't be a woman and you can only be man and gay. You can't be a woman. I don't understand what I'm hearing here. I'm very confused.
She had an abortion and doesn't want to lose.
I am so confused. What is that? Why can't she just say that she's a lesbian? Oh, it's not fancy enough? Oh my gosh.
Not oppressive enough.
We are in a time when apparently just being a lesbian is no longer fancy enough. Sorry, lesbians. You guys are just boring old beige.
Old hotness.
Yeah, you guys are just boring. Nobody cares. That's wild. That's, you know, you really don't hear a lot about lesbians anymore. You know that? It's all trans men who are, and I've noticed in Bread and Circuses, none of the controversy had to do with women who wanted to pretend to be men and compete in men's sports. Kind of interesting too, right? Huh. I'm fascinated by all of this. I also don't, I'm not going to make fun of people's like goth appearances, although they're not goth. That's just Hot Topic threw up on them. But I stop trying to be special. Okay. Just stop. Stop with all the things. Stop trying to be precious. It's just not. No, I don't know. We got a lot more on the way. We got, we didn't get the Bread Circuses. We have, waiting to hear about some of the crazy, I have crazy leftist shenanigans. The latest with Harris Walls and so much more. Stick with us. I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that, what I can, while encouraging self-defense at the same time. So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
If I was Attorney General of a border state, I went after the transnational gangs, the drug cartels, and human traffickers. I prosecuted them in case after case, and I won. We know our immigration system is broken, and we know what it takes to fix it. Comprehensive reform that includes strong border security and an earned pathway to citizenship.
When she said transnational, I'm so used to hearing the trans stuff. I was like, wait a second, what? Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. And this is, I mean, you know, she's the vice president of the United States. This was her on the campaign trail over the weekend. And she's saying, well, you know, I went after these gangs. And no, you didn't. When did she ever do that? She's really trying to like rewrite her whole history with all of this. When did she ever do that? I don't remember. She went down. She had a new ad. She has an ad out. It's called Tougher. Highlights her work when she was a prosecutor and then she was in the Senate. And it goes, fixing the border is tough. So is Kamala Harris. Well, you can tell this hurt them. You can tell his attacks on this and the criticism of her record that stung because they now feel the need to do all of this. So the ad's running in Arizona and Nevada, and she's, what they told The Hill, let me highlight this. It said, her campaign told The Hill when they were writing about this, that they are going to, quote, continue to hit Trump for his role in the failure of a border deal negotiated by a bipartisan group of senators, end quote. So that was the deal that wasn't that earlier this year that fell apart, like in spring of this year, the deal that fell apart? And it was this bill that was coming in the wake. Part of it was supposed to include funding for increased Border Patrol feet on the ground, more for force multipliers like buoys and, you know, the wall, et cetera, et cetera. And they wanted to spend the money on immigration judges, what was it like the, what do they call it? It's not called a fentanyl scanner, but it was for that purpose of like scanning for fentanyl and all this other stuff. So they wanted the money to be spent on ways to process people coming in illegally faster instead of stopping it. And so that's what the big deal was about. And that's why it all fell apart, because Democrats were like, well, if we just can't get what we want with open borders, then that's it. They didn't want to include any other funding for any of this other stuff. We don't need new immigration judges. We don't need any of that. I got to tell you, I was, and this is where I'm going to switch it up, because I feel this is something I, particularly with regard to immigration, not just that I hear Kamala Harris talking about it, but I keep hearing this in a number of places, even places where I don't want to hear it. So I almost walked out of my church sermon this weekend. I have never felt like that in my entire life. I am sitting there and it's kind of been building for a few years. I will say that it really kicked off during lockdown, because I was angry that churches closed during lockdown and ours was no exception. And I was really upset that our church had closed, and you know, and there's a lot of things that our church does with the kids and you know, women's clinics and things like that. And I was mad that all these services were stopping under bunk science, right? And then things reopened, et cetera. And I noticed, you know, the language had been kind of shifting. And I think I don't want to put my pastor on blast or anything like that, because I believe, I'm very Book of Matthew about this. I want to go, or not Book of Matthew, I'm very, you know, I agree with Paul's teaching. You know, you take care of this, you know, behind the scenes, and, you know, you talk to people within the church. And then when all else fails, then you can go public. But I've been talking to a lot of friends of mine, and I feel like there's like this huge, I feel like there's a major problem with Church of Christ pastors, particularly lately, but a lot of problems with pastors in general. And there's been this language that's been seeping into these churches. I don't like mega churches. I don't like mega churches because I feel like it is the, they bash Catholicism while they want to make their own non-Catholic papacy. That's what I feel like corporate worship and mega churches are. I'm like, stay true to your mission, or just, you know, don't bash, you know, I don't get the criticism. So we're sitting in the the sermon, and it had been building for a little bit. And my pastor says that he just goes right into it. He's like, I want a fair and safe border. He said it twice. And I looked at my youngest son, who has zero tolerance for any of this. I don't want my church to be politicized in favor of my beliefs or against them. It should just be scripture. There's no politicization about that. Either be scripture and just preach from the Bible, or don't open your mouth. And there's a reason why the New Testament, you know, it talks about the responsibility that shepherds have. And, you know, I'm sitting there listening to this, and I'm looking, and my husband was not happy. My kids were not happy. And there was zero differentiation made between people who come legally and people who come illegally. And the intimation that the pastor gave in a very sloppy way of presenting this was that essentially, if you have a problem with the complete deluge at the border and the complete unfettered crossing of every single person, then you're a racist. And the church has been really trying to push to expand ethnicity in the church, or diverse ethnicity, etc. And I think that when churches push things too hard, you make an idol of things, and they're making an idol of all of these other things other than what they should be talking about in scripture. But I was really, I was like, what is a fair and safe border? And then he misrepresented and said, you know, these asylees that are coming over. Do you realize that asylees are such a tiny fraction of people that are coming over? And there's a reason for that. When someone comes over as an asylee and that's processed as such, there are certain things that kick in as because of that. That's why it's not semantics. Language matters, because certain legal protections and certain parts of the law are triggered when certain words are used. And when people who say it's a game of semantics, the people who say that either are too stupid to have this debate, they don't know enough about the law to lecture about it, or they're completely clueless about the laws that make up the system in this republic. I mean, words matter for a reason. And there's a tiny percentage of these people that are coming across the border that are actually asylees. You know, I told you about the woman that I spoke with. She's a businesswoman, and I don't want to say her name, and I don't want to say what her business is, but they were from a South American country. And when she was a child, she and her mother and sibling had to flee in the dead of night and seek asylum protection. She, one of her father and brother had a construction company, and the brother got roped into money laundering for the cartel. And when he passed away, the father discovered, I mean, it's like a television series. The father discovered it and was like, and he's a devout Christian and was not going to allow this, was not going to do it. And if he had to die as a, you know, as a way to stand up against a cartel, that was going to happen. So they killed him. They bombed her house. She said that when they were leaving, she was looking at the chart out, her chart out swing set when they were fleeing, and they came to the United States as asylees. There's a cap on how many asylees the United States can accept in a single year, and it's a very small number. So when you have people, most of these people coming across the border are young, military-aged men. In fact, they're predominantly men, predominantly young men, and it's not just men coming from Latin American countries. There are Chinese nationals coming in. There are Middle Eastern nationals coming in. There are African nationals coming in. And when you have every Tom, Dick, and Harry claiming asylum status, what about the people who actually are asylees, because they do exist, that are turned away because it's capped? That's what none of these people realized. And I'm sitting here listening to my pastor just toss this like it's beads at Mardi Gras without any actual full force of knowledge behind it. You can't just say things that you think validate your bias. And as a shepherd, you have a greater responsibility to your flock than that. And I get doubly aggravated because, you know, I'm like, there's the reason why Paul was telling women to be silent in the church. I get mad because I'm like, who else is going to speak up and say something about this? I was looking at a sea of men sitting there in that sanctuary, and not a single one of them, except for my husband and the men sitting with me, were disgruntled at the lies that were being spouted from behind the pulpit. There is something going wrong with our churches. Yes, our country, but I think it started in our churches. I'm sitting there listening to this, and I'm like, I cannot believe the venom that is being spat. For what? This is not, you can say that you want safe, legal border crossings. And it is biblical to respect the laws of your land. Book of Romans highlights this. It is absolutely biblical to respect the law of the land. You know what isn't biblical is to misrepresent and to castigate people sitting there in your pews who are going there to learn about Jesus, and to castigate them and impugn their characters and yoke them to the moral failing of bigotry because you don't know the facts of the matter. I was on fire Sunday. If people ever doubted the existence of God, his hand was on my head keeping me seated, because I was about ready to shoot through that roof. I was livid. And I still am, if you can't tell. I'm at listening to him say this stuff. And that wasn't the only thing. He said stuff like this before. I remember there was another time. Botham Jean was a black man who was shot and killed. You remember the whole story of Botham Jean. He was in his own apartment. There was a woman. She was a police officer, Dallas PD. She came back. She pulled like an 18-hour shift or something crazy. Walked into the wrong apartment. She thought it was her apartment, and it wasn't. The door was unlocked. It was Botham Jean. I think he was like eating ice cream or something in his own kitchen, and she shot and killed him. And it was a big thing. Well, it was already a bad situation enough. And yes, she was in the wrong. She killed him. We talked about that endlessly on this program. But what didn't help was when our pastor got up on stage and said, yes, as we know, you know, more black people are killed by police every year. I'm like, that's not even supported by statistics. That's not even supported by FBI figures. Why would you go up there and misrepresent things and further incite and divide? That is not a hallmark of Christ. Nor is it a sign of a good shepherd. It's venomous. And I question the motivation behind it. And I am tired of having to sit in a church service and try to dig through the pastor's political bias to get to the heart of the message that he's delivering. Now, we had a debate in our family. I'm like, well, what do we do? Because I'm wanting to leave. I'm done. And we have some members of our family, my oldest son, too, who's very temperate. And I was like, well, you know, the church is under attack as well. The pastor's under attack. He's not infallible. I'm like, I agree. Well, you know, shouldn't you want to help him and get him on the right path? I agree. I tried that before, though. After the line that he had said about the police shooting deaths, I wrote, I don't like inaccessible pastors. I shouldn't have to go through, for people that criticize the Catholic Church, I shouldn't have to go through a million different levels of hierarchy just to talk to my pastor. Never got a response. I don't expect a response because of what I do. I expect a response because I'm a member of the congregation. And I had a legitimate criticism, and I brought receipts. Never heard anything. I finally got like an email back, oh, thanks for the letter, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are you serious? I have a problem with mega churches. I have a problem with corporate worship. I have a problem with churches that bash everything else. And the, oh, we don't like the Pope. We don't like Catholicism. We don't like this or that. But we're going to sit here and create that. But we're not. But we're different because we're not Catholics. We're going to create the non-Catholic papacy with corporate churches here in the U.S. I get aggravated by all of it. And I'm aggravated with my own church right now. I'm aggravated with the state of the kingdom on earth. And I don't know. I don't plan on going back next Sunday. I don't know if you guys have experienced something like this in your church. And I do think that, yes, you know, you got a responsibility, you stand up for your pastor, all this other stuff. But what happens when they're not receptive? What happens when they don't want to listen? What happens when their hearts have hardened because of political extremism? Our awesome friends at Kel-Tec, which reminds me, I got to show you like some of the stuff that I've gotten recently and put it up on Instagram. It's been kind of a little bit busy with my pup and he's not range trained yet. So we're, he'd probably freak out. Anyway, I might have to show you some of the stuff I have because I got the P15. I got both versions. I got the polymer and I got the metal version. I don't know if you've checked out the P15. As you know, I concealed carry everywhere. And this is the lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm on the market, more so than my 43X. It's not even a joke. I love the polymer version, but the metal version has those wood grips and it's just, I don't know, it's like 60s bougie. It's like a James Bond gun. It's just real cool. I like it. It's fancy. It's for fancy carry. You know, you get your polymer for, you know, your EDC. And then, you know, if you want to fancy it up, if, you know, you can have the wood grip panel out there. You need both, basically. Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic two-dot rear. So you are on target all the time. Comes with two mags. You got the standard 15-round magazine with a minimal pinky extension and a flush-fit double-stack mag that holds 12 rounds as well. Compact, super ideal for everyday self-defense. And it's from the creators, the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It's Kel-Tec. Firearms quality made right here. Family-run company right here in the U.S. of A. Actually, in Florida. So you can check them out. It's the P15 Innovation Performance Kel-Tec. Learn more at KeltecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Salt Lake City flight to Vegas was forced to divert because lightning struck the plane. Y'all made God angry. I'm kidding. No. My grandmother would have said, that's the finger of the heavens coming down. I'm kidding. Salt Lake City flight, though, was headed to Vegas, forced to divert. It was struck by lightning. Now, I know that planes are supposed to be able to handle that stuff, but telling someone who's nervous about it that planes are supposed to be able to handle that stuff and can doesn't make it better. It really doesn't, but it did have to divert. It was delayed an hour. They had air traffic troubles of all things at Harry Reid International Airport in Vegas. They had severe turbulence. I mean, it was, you know, some turbulence and they landed safely. And so that's, you know, they did everything right. They did everything possible. Everybody was okay. So a UK police commissioner, we're going to talk about this coming up, threatens to extradite and jail U.S. citizens over online posts. Oh, you can come and try that here if you would like. It'll be Lexington and Concord, 1775 all over again. I mean, you can come here and you can try that. We'll be your huckleberries. That's all right. Yeah, he says, we'll come after you. With what? Your little sticks? Because y'all can't even carry. What are you going to come after us with? What? Like, stop it. This is literally, stop. You lobster back, stop. It's true. A Delray restaurant named a new burger after Alexandria Olympian, and you finish the burger in under 9.7 seconds, and it's free. It's one of those big burgers that you have to use a knife and fork to eat. And we need to have a whole separate conversation about how burgers should not require a knife and fork. And you shouldn't have to press down on them like a hydraulic press to flatten them to get them to fit in one's mouth. You shouldn't have to do this. Stop it with that. That's like all the accoutrements somebody puts in a Bloody Mary. You order one, you get a chicken wing and some celery and all this. Stop it. But it's Alexandria sprinter Noah Lyles, fastest man in the world. So he's the keepsake of this. It's a burger joint, Mount Vernon Avenue, called Holy Cow, which is actually a great name for a burger place, I have to say. Stick with us. We got more in store. People who help bring you free radio. It's the good folks over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service out there. And one of the reasons why I like Patriot Mobile so much is because they save you money. I mean, yeah, they think like me. That's just nice. But we're all broke. So we all got to, you know, we got to think about this stuff. They think they think like you. Yes, they share your values. They're not going to make break your knees to make you share theirs. They just want to offer you great, dependable service. They have reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you get the best service in your area without funding the left. And when you switch, you are sending a message that, you know, you support and you're going to put momentum behind your values. They've been super active in school board races. They work with women's shelters. They do so much that they don't get credit for. And they have 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So you're helping to maintain and create U.S.-based jobs. And they just make it so easy to switch. So make the switch today. You get free activation with code Dana. And you can get a free month of service as well. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get that free month when you use offer code Dana. Don't be fooled by people pretending to share your values or even remotely having the same coverage. Switch today. 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Dana for your free month of service today.
Not able to catch the full Dana Show? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
The polls we had showed that it was neck and neck race. Would have been down to the wire. But what happened was a number of my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate thought that I was going to hurt them in the races. And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic. You'd be interviewing about why did Nancy Pelosi say, why did so? And I thought it'd be a real distraction.
You know what it is, basically, is Biden's just a coward. He is an ineffectual coward who got run out like Elijah Lovejoy. He was run out on a rail. It's what exactly what it is by the Democrat Party. That's why. And he's just an absolute coward. And now he's been relegated to what? I don't know what he's doing anymore. Every now and then they bring him out, just be like, no, we still got somebody in there. Here he is. That's it. That's it right there. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Top of our, or sorry, bottom of our second hour. I thought that interview, it was just a sad little interview that he gave. That was one of the things he had it was a nice little pre-tape that he ran. But he's a coward. He got run out. He got pushed out by all the same people that said that he's completely fine. You know, he's great. He's going to run. He's a great person. Oh, believe it. He can handle it. He can handle all of this stuff. That's all the same people who pushed him out were assuring the nation of. So he sat down with, he was talking, by the way, it was on CBS with Robert Costa. And I do think, I will give Costa some credit in that he asked Biden about the situation with Pelosi and how Pelosi came to be the one who kind of shoved him out at the end. And he tried to act like it was his idea, it was his plan. And I think that's the intimation he was trying to give, that it wasn't anyone who did it for him. But we all know. I mean, he kind of let the cat out of the bag with that. We knew it was. I mean, he said that, you have Pelosi here. This I thought was very interesting. She said this towards the end of last week after our program, but she was never impressed with Biden's op. Listen to this.
Background, I've never been that impressed with his political operation.
Biden's operation.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I just haven't been. But so my concern was, this ain't happening. And we have to make a decision for us this to happen. And the president has to make the decision for that to happen.
Wow. Dang. Yeah, she's, dang, I'd say so. Dang. She's just digging the knife in and twisting it. And then she switches, audio soundbite 15. She did an interview over the weekend. She switches, and now here she is trying to build up Kamala. Listen.
Officially, she's strong.
about the issues. You see one of them, that the woman's right to choose, but there's so many others. She's strong in that regard officially, and politically she's very astute, and people just don't realize that. She won against the incumbent for a district attorney. She won in a very competitive race for attorney general, but she figured
but
it out.
But she didn't win a race for to be on the president, to be the presidential nominee. I mean, they ended up, how weird is it that the person who came in last place in the Democrat primary in 2020 behind Pete Buttigieg is their nominee now, but not because voters picked her. They're really trying to sell voters on her. They've been hiring all of these influencers. We talked about that last week. And the Trump campaign, Republicans are going to have to really make sure that they are very disciplined and that they are very focused. And they need to make sure that it is Kamala running against Kamala. I mean, she's, you know, the vice president. She presides over the Senate. We talked about how she cribbed the whole no tax on tips thing. But yet she was the person who was the deciding vote on the Inflation Reduction Act that expanded the IRS, added 88,000 agents, and absolutely demanded increased taxation on tips in addition to Venmo and PayPal and all this other stuff. So that's what they need to remind everyone of her record on this. But Biden's, he actually name-checked her in that interview that so there's no love loss, I think, between Pelosi and Biden. Biden's done. He is absolutely done at this point. He better hurry up and pardon Hunter, because if they have to throw Hunter Biden out as a sacrificial lamb to save anything, Democrats, they will do that in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. So this stolen valor with Tim Walz, you know, he referenced being on the tarmac at Bagram during a ramp ceremony in a 2021 speech. There is so much stuff coming out about him. We shared the comments earlier that had been made his actual boss in charge, his commander. We were talking about this on Facebook. Retired Colonel John Kolb, who was the battalion commander, and he was Walz's direct supervisor, and he absolutely blasted him on Facebook. I think it was Facebook or Instagram. Nobody in the press has reached out to this guy and talked to him. Meanwhile, the Stolen Valor stuff continues. This is a flashback interview that Walz did, audio soundbite 31, wherein he said, and this is being debunked, that he was on the tarmac at Bagram during, he didn't serve over there. Listen.
In the years that happened after that classroom, I had the privilege of serving in this state's National Guard. And when I left, I had a 2-year-old. When I came home, I had a 3-year-old. But as I listened to Jill and I listened to Mariah, the guilt, I came home and my daughter went on. And when you're 2 and 3, she knew no difference. That's not true for some. They can't do that. And over the preceding years of watching us, and as our nation changed and as our political systems became more difficult for all of us to understand, I stood one night in the dark of night on the tarmac at Bagram and watched a military ramp ceremony. And if you've seen it, which these folks, many have, unfortunately, don't leave the same.
This is going on way too long, but you guys get the idea. That's unbelievable. I mean, he said this in 2021, a 9/11 observance speech. And he was there, and he didn't clarify this. He attended as a member of Congress in Afghanistan and Iraq for a trip, but he never actually clarified when he was giving his remarks in what capacity he was there. And further, there's more. I'm trying to see what audio. I'm gonna have to restart my. This is audio soundbite 6, where he is introduced as a retired command sergeant major, and he never corrects any of this ever. Listen.
Try and gain support of it. You know, Congressman's a retired Army command sergeant major with time in combat. I think he called this entirely correctly. This process is important. It's got to be deliberate. Because once embarked, and it's 42,000 killed and wounded so far, this is going to be tough work.
It's murky for me. I need to have one quick answer for both of you. Is there a middle course between giving the general in the field the 40,000 troops he wants and saying no? Is there a middle course?
So he's introduced in this clip as retired command sergeant major. He never corrected it. He never corrected it ever. And he's got the challenge coin that he handed out to people. Talked about that. He has a challenge coin that he was handing out to folks that had an E9 rank that he never had. He was never cemented, that he had printed on it. I mean, this is wild. Nobody is asking about this. Instead, what they've been doing is trying to play like whataboutism, the media. They're trying to, I noticed this too. This was Wikipedia scrubbed J.D. Vance's military awards from its website after it was revealed that Tim Walz, you know, was lying about his. Someone goes, Wikipedia has been hijacked. Wikipedia has been a cesspool of garbage forever. About maybe 60% of my Wikipedia is even accurate. Like, they were getting my hometown wrong on Wikipedia. They would not allow me to put my fourth book up on Wikipedia. They have, like, it's just like a bunch of leftist nonsense that they cite. There's a reason why Wikipedia is not even allowed in a court of law as like a legitimate substantial evidence. You can't, because it's not credible. Wikipedia was erasing all of his military awards. They deleted it because they didn't want to have to compete against the stolen valor of Tim Walz. And then I hate every time I see will you donate to Wikipedia? I exit out immediately, and I enjoy doing that greatly because I enjoy not giving them any donations because it's a garbage website. They do this stuff all the time. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. There was actually at one point in Wikipedia, there was someone that has my name, my maiden name, my first and maiden name, who also lived in the county that I lived in. And Wikipedia was literally trying to attribute some of that person's life to my life. And other people were arguing it apparently in the Wikipedia and they wouldn't change it. Is that not unbelievable? And you can't edit your own stuff at Wikipedia. I've never had the time to do that, but you apparently, even if I wanted to, I couldn't. They wouldn't let you. How unbelievable is that? Yeah, that's all crazy. It's all crazy. It's such garbage. It's a bunch of leftists that sit around on government benefits, and that's all they do all day. That's all they do. So media is, they're helping to save Tim Walz on this. They're helping to save him. J.D. Vance addressed that in one of his interviews, audio soundbite 2. Listen.
And I think that the most important thing here, Dana, is it goes to Kamala Harris's judgment. Tim Walz is ultimately going to be the vice president. Kamala Harris is in great health. I'm sure she's going to be president if she wins for 4 or maybe even 8 years. Why did Kamala Harris choose a person who has lied about their military service? I think that is a serious lapse in judgment. And I don't want to hear from a campaign spokesperson of Kamala Harris. I want to hear Kamala Harris herself address what I just said.
You know, I've seen a lot of statements from veterans, including those you serve with, saying it's just untoward to be criticizing somebody who served for 24 years.
Dana, I'm not interested in the ad hominem. I've heard from a lot of veterans groups who criticize Tim Walz. The question is, he said he served in war and he didn't. That is a dishonesty. I couldn't care less what one or the other person says about it. I care about what the truth is.
Yeah, and he did. His rank on... And I thought that was a good point that Vance made. You know, there are pictures of his challenge coin. He put Command Sergeant Major on his congressional challenge coin. He has that on his challenge coin that he handed out to everybody. Kind of a big issue, isn't it?
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Some of these headlines, I just don't even know what's happening. All right, so first up, we've got, I don't know where to start. We've got a video. This is crazy. Do we have this video? So it's a Florida man who's getting arrested. It's in Southwest Miami-Dade. And I can't play. Can we play it? Are we safe to play it?
No audio.
Okay, no audio. If we're going to be safe and not have any audio. Okay. So it's
censored. It's censored.
Okay.
I just hit you again. What the f*** you do about it?
For the first time, we are seeing body camera video when Miami-Dade police say they were assaulted by a quadriplegic man. A case so unusual, even the judge at first appearance seems surprised.
I have truly never seen a case like this.
It happened May 1st. Police were called to the Southwest Miami-Dade home of Brian Amastha, also known as El Valiente, his stage name when he's performing music. According to the report, Amastha and his mother, seen here in red, were involved in an argument. But when mom is put in handcuffs, this happens.
Hey, stop hitting me with the chair,
man,
Brian.
Stop doing
that's
that.
A battery on all you. Just said-
when we interviewed Amastha back then, he told us this.
They claimed that I hit them with my wheelchair.
Did you?
I absolutely did not.
The report stated that you spit at an officer.
Right. So I suffer from acid reflux, so I normally spit. And I spat like the totally different direction.
But this is the video.
You want to listen or not?
Amastha also told us he felt humiliated during his arrest.
Bro, are you laughing at me, bro?
Because he was separated from his motorized wheelchair, which he says was damaged when it was put on a flatbed. You see one officer appearing to text someone, so joking that they were going to put him on the tow truck. Officers later seen inspecting their legs. Amastha charged with 2 counts of battery on a law enforcement officer.
Yeah. So there you go right there. So that's one Florida man. Yeah. All right. So that's okay. Good. Yeah, we got that. Glad we got that one in. Oh, my word. A Florida man got revenge on an in-law's neighbor. The nightmare neighbor cut down his mom's tree, so he got revenge. It's a British Florida man who apparently got mad over his mother-in-law's neighbor. They cut down a bunch of palm trees that separated their property. And so he formed a privacy hedge. And so they, and it was for their pool. What do they call those? The lanai? Is it like a lanai? Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah, where they have the glassed-in pool? I don't understand. It's a Florida thing. And so they basically are cutting down all the greenery on each other's property. That's what. And there's like different videos. We can't actually show the, well, we can show part of it, but don't show the part where they say the blanky neighbor.
Right, no, yeah,
got to be careful with that one. So he built a 68 feet of planter boxes, and I guess trying to dare the neighbor into doing something there. So I don't.
The planter boxes look great, though.
The planter boxes do look great, I have to say. They look very nice. So I don't know if that was like intentional from the neighbor that cut the trees down or what, but like it ended up looking a lot, very nice. So we have this. We also got the Florida man who I don't want the people at the adult store. And I really don't want the people who went to Taco Bell, and they end up getting into a fight and they threw the entirety of the contents of the bag of Taco Bell at each other during the fight. And the woman, because she was seen by police throwing the burrito at her husband's head, was the one who got arrested. We have a third hour on the way. Yeah, stay with us.
What I would say to those people who think they've got away with being involved in the disorder on Tuesday or on Saturday, you absolutely haven't got away with it. We are coming for you. We've got hours of social media footage. We've got hours of CCTV footage. I've got officers working round the clock to identify who you are, where you live, where you work. We are coming for you. We'll be coming for you for the next few days. We'll be coming for you for the next few months. So you might get to next week. You might be sitting with a cup of tea thinking, phew, I've got away with it. Please let me reassure you, you haven't got away with it. We are coming for you. You will feel the full force of the law. I want to reassure the communities that we are absolutely able to cope with what's going on. We have got 8 PSUs here in Merseyside today. So what do I mean by a PSU? Each PSU has 1 inspector, 3 sergeants and 21 officers. That gives you the scale of the number of officers that we've got able to respond, being supported by colleagues across the Northwest. So yes, we are equipped. Are the officers who are getting injured having an impact? Yes, it is. But we absolutely have sufficient resources to cope.
Wow. So that's a good night. That's so crazy. So this is in the UK, because they're quite upset, as you know, over the rioting that's taking place all across the United Kingdom, Kane, due to the fact that they've got unfettered illegal immigration, with boats arriving on the daily
Don't think you're getting away with being on social media. You're not getting away with that.
And if you can't talk nasty about any of this, you can't say, you can't talk about the riots, can't talk about any of it, because they'll come get you. What is she going to do? What are they going to come get you with? Sticks? They're not even allowed to be armed. They aren't even allowed to be armed. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of this third hour. We're already at the third hour. And I'm, you know, I got to tell you, it's just wild. The whole thing is crazy. They're just going nuts over there. They're going wild over social media. And I'm like looking at a couple of these headlines. Bear with me here. I'm looking at a couple of these. They're going wild because they see social media posts. They have this this statute that they've had in place for a number of years. But if you incite on social media, then they will like arrest you. There were people that had like a van that was wrapped with a pro-Christian message, and they were arresting people for talking about their Christian faith openly over there. I mean, this is just it's really, this is one of the reasons why people have been rioting. Because the UK has been just hammering its own citizens, but yet the people who have been involved with aggression, the criminality, the violence, etc., they've been getting slaps on the wrists. And that's one of the reasons why that people have kind of had it, and they've had these protests and then riots from some of these protests break out across Britain. And you had all of this really kicked off when they had the kids that were murdered by this 18-year-old British citizen born to Rwandan parents, and he went on this stabbing spree. And this is after, you know, you've had decades of the Rotherham stuff. This is how you've had people attacked, terrorist attacks, you know, people driving their cars into people. There's been a lot of stuff has been building. And so this was sort of, you know, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. And they've accused Elon Musk of somehow being culpable because people are able to speak on X. And so they've been, you know, kind of culpable with us. It's just wild. It's just, I mean, and then if you're in the United States, they've been threatening to try to, oh, well, we'll extradite you. I tweeted about that. I think it was over the weekend. Where they'll look into extradition possibilities if you're, you know, inciting or speaking against what they're trying to do in the UK. I mean, we had 1776 already, but they have no freedom over there. They said Sky News talked to their police commissioner, and they said that the likes of Elon Musk. Like that's how they referred to him. They were like spitting his name. Being a keyboard warrior doesn't make you safe from the law. What? This is crazy. Now, remember, they consider mere disagreement incitement. Mm-hmm. If you even so much as post a photo of people protesting, that's considered incitement. I mean, it's entirely up to them. Again, these are also the same law enforcement over in UK that visited this. She was like, what, a 14-year-old girl? She was on the autism spectrum, and they were targeting her because she saw a short-haired female police officer and thought that police officer, by nature of having short hair, must be a lesbian like her grandmother, who has short hair and apparently was a lesbian. And the female police officer took offense and targeted the girl, and the parents were trying to explain, or the mother was trying to explain to the officer, look, this is how she interprets stuff. She's not doing this with malicious intent. She's just simply stating, oh my gosh. And they were going to drag this kid away. This is the stuff that they have to deal with over there. You have no freedom of speech. Kane, does it make you want to go over to Britain anytime soon?
Nope.
Me neither.
It does make me want to post stuff here just to see if they'll extradite me.
To see if they'll do the extradition. I'm looking for this one story where they had examples of what they were trying to say was incitement. And it literally was just like people posting a disagreement with how the police were handling certain of these cases. And that's not an incitement. People have a free, that's a responsibility and an expectation in the United States to be able to criticize your governing authorities. But over there, they characterize it as incitement so as to scare people off from criticizing their governing authorities. See, that's the whole thing. That's the whole plan. I mean,
good heavens. Keir Starmer, the prime minister, through his spokesperson, was saying there's no justification for Elon Musk's comments on Musk hasn't. He criticized Starmer's response to the riots. And he was like, you know, this guy's leading the UK towards a civil war. I mean, these are all labor policies, too, by the way. And Keir Starmer gets mad and says, oh, Elon Musk is inciting hate. And then they're acting like they're he's having this interview. Let me pull this up. He's having this interview with Trump. And I think I accidentally closed it, but he apparently there's like a they're trying to apparently, I guess, regulate how his conversation goes or something like that. The EU wants to dictate how Musk is going to conduct his conversation with Trump on X. The European Commission sent Musk this letter wherein they were telling him, quote, I'm writing to you in the context of recent events in the United Kingdom and in relation to the planned broadcast on your platform X of a live conversation between a US presidential candidate and yourself, which will also be accessible to users in the EU. And they said, they tell him, quote, I'm compelled to remind you of the due diligence obligations set out in the Digital Services Act, as outlined in my previous letter. And as the individual entity ultimately controlling a platform with over 300 million users worldwide, one of which one third is in the EU, has been designated a very large online platform, which, sidebar, they capitalized that, very large online platform. Is that like a thing over there?
Apparently.
Is that like an actual classification?
I guess.
Is that... They continue, you have the legal obligation to ensure X's compliance with EU law and in particular the DSA in the EU. So they said that they're demanding mitigation measures put in place regarding the amplification of harmful content in connection with relevant events. They said they want informing EU judicial and administrative authorities without undue delay on the measures taken to address their orders against contact considered illegal according to national or EU law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They remind him that they already have formal proceedings going on against X under the DSA, notably in areas linked to dissemination of illegal content and effectiveness of measures taken to combat disinformation. It's not disinformation. I mean, it's actual people's videos from like protests and riots, etc. They're like threatening him, though. They said that any negative effect of illegal content on X in the EU, which they add, could be attributed to the ineffectiveness of the way in which X applies the relevant provisions of the DSA, may be relevant in the context of the ongoing proceedings and overall assessment of X's compliance with EU law. This is in line with what has already been done in recent past. And they get in and get it. So they're threatening him. Like, don't talk about any of this stuff. Don't show any of this stuff. Don't get in any of this stuff. And Terry Breton. And then they have the CEO of XCC'd. So they're seeing this conversation and they're threatening it because they can't shut X off. So they're threatening him, essentially. This is wild. I mean, it's not anybody else's fault that the EU is having an immigration problem, that the UK is having this kind of issue, that they're seeing an uptick in crime and assault and murders and etc., violent crimes. And to talk about that is an incitement, nor is it misinformation, disinformation, or anything else that they any way that they want to spin this. Just something else. He's but immediately, Keir Starmer hasn't been in office very long, and he and Musk already dislike each other. Keir Starmer is a far, far left Marxist. He's a Marxist. He's a labor leader, but he's a Marxist, and that's and he's essentially tripled down on continuing all of the same policies that have put the UK in this position. He was against Brexit, all this other stuff. So I mean, this is just this is pretty unbelievable. I mean, it's not unbelievable. I believe it. It's just the fact that they were even looking to see how far their tentacles could stretch here over the United States with something like this. Goodness. Can you imagine what it would be like if Musk didn't own X? I honestly think that some people like Zuckerberg, etc., Facebook, I will say Facebook never worked with China or bent a knee to China. That's why they have their own similar platform. But I do wonder how strongly some of these other platforms would have held on the issue of speech had it not been for Musk taking over X and running it the way that he's running it and trying to unravel a lot of the algorithmic censorship that's been taking place. I do wonder. Some of the other things we're keeping an eye on. The this is an actual headline from, speaking of media, from Bloomberg Press, which I hate. Ready for this one? Tim Walz's masculinity is terrifying to Republicans. They are really trying to shape him as like this crazy outdoorsman, the Midwest dad. They are trying so hard to sell him like this. They say that, this is the subhead, Kamala Harris's running mate has traditional manly man traits. He's also not frightened of women, afraid of black people, or terrified of the future. That's their headline. That's an actual headline that they have. That's one of the dumbest things that I've ever read in my life. Oh my gosh. This is, now do you see, you have the Time cover where they're lionizing Kamala Harris. You have this over from Bloomberg. They've been trying to protect Walz, the media, from all of the criticisms over the stolen valor. I'm waiting for one of them to call the actual retired, the veterans that he served with and under. I'm waiting for them to call them liars, because isn't that what the press does? I'm waiting for the press to attack all of these people who served with Walz and have been very hypercritical, completely justifiably so, of his lies about his service.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, Home Depot, a Home Depot employee in her 70s was fired for failing to stop $5,000 in fraudulent transactions, according to a lawsuit. Doesn't this go again, like, if they had tried to stop, like, theft before, wouldn't people get in trouble?
Yeah.
Anyway, she didn't stop fraudulent transactions. She got fired. And this was at apparently a Home Depot, the same one 3 months after a loss prevention officer was shot and killed trying to stop a theft attempt.
And she felt threatened by the guy that was at the...
So why would you maybe hire armed security? It sounds like the store has an issue. It's in San Ramon, California. It sounds like the store has an issue. Maybe hire armed security and don't expect the 72-year-old to take the hits for you. Good grief. State Fair of Texas no longer allows firearms on fairgrounds.
What?
Well, I won't be going to the damn state fair. That's good grief. Yeah, they're not going to allow. They said there was a shooting that injured 3 people last year. So you had gang activity that resulted in a shooting. So, of course, obviously, let's make it to where the law-abiding people who could actually curtail some of this stuff, you know, heaven forbid if somebody decides to pop off, let's make it to where nobody can carry. I'm tired of the law-abiding always having to pay the penalty for criminals. And that's it. It includes, it doesn't matter if you have a license or not. And because the State Fair of Texas is a private, not-for-profit organization, they can do that on the state fairgrounds. So I'm going to tell you, there is no way. And the 22-year-old, by the way, he was a prohibited possessor already with a criminal record. And he was already violating the law. So now because one criminal continued to violate the law, now they won't allow anyone to carry. So I won't be going. There's no way in hell would I go to the state fair. If they're not going to allow you to carry, no way, because they do not make sure that they have enough people there to make sure everyone's protected. So it's just a no, not at all. Let's see here. Drones warned New York City residents about storm flooding, but the Spanish translation drew tons of mockery. Apparently, they had the drones flying overhead in some neighborhoods and people were saying that literally wasn't Spanish. That was incomprehensible. They said they couldn't find anybody who spoke Spanish to actually deliver that alert. They said it sounded like a literal Google translation. Oh, goodness. And it's serious, though, when you're wanting people to listen to what the weather reports are. Yeah, did Jill Biden do it? It was probably Jill Biden that they had just do the good night. We have Stephen Yates, who is coming up next. Stick with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kamala Harris has done nothing about this. She should apply diplomatic and economic leverage over the Chinese to stop manufacturing this fentanyl, which then comes into the Mexican drug cartels, which they then ship into our country.
The United States has designated some of these groups and pressed the Chinese government.
Oh, we could do so much more. Fentanyl is not easy to manufacture, Margaret. And if Harris was applying proper leverage to the Chinese and to the Mexican drug cartels, we would not have so many people dying of fentanyl overdoses.
How do you do that?
What's your vision of how you do that?
Well, I think you walk into Beijing, you talk to Xi Jinping, and you say your entire economy is going to collapse unless you get access to American markets. You need to take this fentanyl seriously, or we are going to impose serious tariffs and economic penalties for not following our laws and not helping us stem the flow of this deadly poison.
I think there's something to that. I don't know if it's just as easy as walking into Beijing, though, and telling Xi Jinping that this is what's going to happen, because I don't know if that's necessarily the way to do it. I also think it's weird that no one has asked in the media about the Harris Walls tickets connections to China. That's what's so weird to me. There has not been, and I was looking over the weekend, there hasn't really been any deep dives into this at all. And Walls and Harris haven't sat down to answer any questions about any of this. So I just think it's weird that a guy that purposefully selects to get married on the anniversary of the Tiananmen Square massacre, that's messed up. Okay, that's weird. Let's bring in that's weird. I didn't even mean for that. On a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 20. Our good friend Stephen Yates, who is also the great adjudicator of what is weird as it pertains to China. You can follow him on X at YatesComs, and he's senior fellow at America First Policy Institute, as well as chair of the China Policy Initiative. So I wanted to get, first off, I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the whole ticket. I find it strange that there hasn't been a greater interest from our press, just on the basis of self-preservation alone as a nation, that we have someone who might be maybe as compromised, if not more compromised, than the first son with a geopolitical foe in this vice presidential pick. And I think it further highlights Harris's, you know, complete inability to make proper judgments.
Yeah, you know, I think there's an unspoken rule out there that the media, the broad mainstream, has adopted that they shall ask no questions. You're allowed to ask, well, how lovely was your conversation with your family? You're allowed to ask, how did you pick out that beautiful outfit? But you're not allowed to ask, why did you honeymoon in a communist country? You're not allowed to ask, so how did you make best friends with the Communist Party of China and make it a personal project with your wife to take people to China, not just once or twice, but often over many, many years, and have them come visit you too? I mean, that's a degree of engagement and friendship. People can do it if they want, but it at least ought to be worthy of some questions. And oh, by the way, if you're going to get a security clearance, you get scrubbed for like the last 15 plus years of all of your travel and interactions. And they especially scrub over normal people for any interactions with foreigners, especially those from communist countries. And so why wouldn't you subject the running mate at least to a little bit of this? And it's just the media has intentionally turned off on this subject. I think it's awful. They've got to start pressing on this. China's our largest geostrategic foe. And if the vice president potential nominee is going to be a problem, we ought to know about it and talk about it.
I think that's a really good point, talking with our friend Stephen Yates, because he went, from what I understand, it was like in the 90s when he went, and Tim Walz has been there like 30 some odd times. Some of it was apparently paid for by the Chinese government. I mean, put it in perspective with all of us, because I remember when Tiananmen Square happened, I was a little kid and I was in elementary school, but I knew it was big and bad and there was some serious stuff that was happening, and nobody is untouched from the image of the Tank Man. You know, that is like the iconic image, and I knew what that was even at a very young age. And this guy, I mean, it seemed pretty hostile in China after that, and that's the time that he chooses to go and honeymoon over there?
Well, remember, there was a popular Democrat at the time known as Bill Clinton, who ran for president in the 1992 cycle, saying that it was the butchers of Beijing. And that was after the Tiananmen Square massacre. Nancy Pelosi had just kind of settled onto the national scene, and she was very, very vocal critic of the communist government in Beijing and an advocate for human rights. The first 2 years of the Clinton administration was meant to be some kind of a course corrective away from the realist foreign policy of Bush 41 that engaged with the government of Beijing after Tiananmen, because we were still balancing the Soviet Union through the end of that enterprise. So there's a whole different world from that period, but a lot of the Democratic Party at that time would have found Waltz's activities as out of the mainstream, and the likes of Nancy Pelosi wouldn't have been advocating that he be a running mate under those circumstances. She would have been eviscerating him for engaging with the butchers of Beijing back in the 1990s.
That is great context to know. That is very good context to know, because that really kind of cements just how far left, you know, Waltz is when you look at these other sort of stalwarts of the party, the Clintons and, you know, the Pelosi's, even the Bernie Sanderses. I mean, it's, what does it tell you about, and heaven forbid, you know, November goes sideways, what does it indicate to you the approach to China would be under a Harris-Waltz administration, knowing everything seems to be so precariously perched right now as it is?
Well, under normal circumstances, I would say that a vice presidential nominee's point of view would have marginal impact. It could have some significant areas of impact, but the president will be in charge. But when you have a top of a ticket who has no opinions or policies declared at all, there's literally more donation buttons on her campaign page than there are policy papers on her campaign page. And when you have a vacuum at the top, then you have to look, well, if we know she's not going to be driving an agenda on engagement or confrontation with China, then what's this dude's impact going to be? And you'd have to go back to say, well, what did he do as governor? And what did he do before he was governor? And did he say things like, well, I don't consider them to be an adversary? Well, yes, he did. I do consider them to be an adversary. And just to echo what you led on, a freaking men to J.D. Vance for saying, unleash the economic hounds on Beijing for killing Americans with fentanyl. And if you're not willing to sign up for that, then you don't have a policy. But we can't expect that from Minnesota Nice.
Mm. Oh, that's a really good point. A good way of putting it. Our friend Stephen Yates, we're talking to him about all of this with the ticket, everything else. You know, on that topic as well. You know, Harris doesn't have. I get vibes of. I get Obama Biden vibes, whereas Biden was added to the ticket to give like this like statesman gravitas to, because Obama was, you know, this freshman senator out of Illinois, didn't really have much of a record. He needed some kind of weight added to it. And I'm wondering if that's sort of the approach with Harris, which then makes me think, okay, if they were elected, the tariff thing's never going to happen. There's not going to be any kind of sanctions. There's not going to be any kind of economic pushback. We're not going to be, I just think, you know, what's going to happen with Taiwan? What's going to happen with the chip production? What's going to happen with our relationship with a foe that has the majority, controls the majority of the implements used for antibiotics? We're not anywhere near self-sufficient on that or a number of other issues. So I don't know. I've been stockpiling, essentially, is what I'm saying. But what are your thoughts on all of that?
Well, unfortunately, I think that the warnings are needed, because if we aren't serious about revitalizing our homeland and our manufacturing and securing our supply chains, if we aren't willing to say out loud that the greater threats to America's future come from outside of our country and that our enemies are not within, as the Biden-Harris administration has declared, or on some lunacy of the weather being the greatest national security threat to the United States, if we can't say, look, these are our challenges and this is what we'll do about it, and have the wherewithal at home, then it doesn't matter who we elect. I think it does matter. I think that President Trump might not be all things to all people, but he proved willing to take this policy in a different direction for the 4 years he was in office. He was smarted by Beijing hitting the United States and hitting him pretty hard in the final year with the COVID virus. I think that he's got a pretty sober mind in looking at this challenge. And the Revitalize America part is right. And J.D. Vance has been very good at articulating that. If you look at Waltz, I unfortunately think he's also pretty articulate.
Really?
But he's articulating very dangerous and bad policies.
Ooh, so I'm very, we're going to have to talk to you after they debate, if they have a debate, Vance and Walz, because I'm fascinated to see where you fall on with that. Because, see, I do think people think that he's kind of like this dopey FUD coming from Minnesota. You know, they've been trying to, the left has been trying to say he's like the Midwestern dad because he put a hat on. You know, I didn't realize a hat was like a Midwestern dad thing, but okay. But I don't think that he's entirely innocuous. The whole weird thing that came from him, that was the press ran with that for 2 weeks now. So he's got a level of danger.
Right. And why wouldn't it? He has spent the last 30 years engaging with the greatest manipulative political warriors on this planet, the Chinese Communist Party. They lead with information warfare. Name calling to them is not a hobby. It's a part of their warfare against their enemies. It doesn't shock me that someone who sympathizes with that part of the political spectrum would be very shrewd. And the Minnesota Nice is a facade. These are daggers. It reminds me of the movie Dune, and I'm sure I'll lose a lot of the audience on it, but where the slow blade that goes in is the one that kills. It's the one you don't see that goes slowly. And that's where this passive aggressive beta male stuff on the outside fools people. This is lethal. I think Vance knows it and he'll be ready for it. I hope the whole Trump campaign sees it and the American people see it, because there's no content. This is all about power and manipulation right now.
Last quick question. Well, it might not be quick. Last question for you, though, on this. Is Walz compromised, do you think?
Oh, for heaven's sake, yes. And so, I mean, it's compromised in the sense, is it like Hunter Biden compromised? I don't think so. But in terms of what his thoughts, beliefs, policies, inclinations are, his everything that has been his style of leadership and what he has said about China is exactly what the warm mainstream bath of conventional thinking has said for the years of engagement. So I hear nothing out of him that wouldn't be most welcomed by Beijing. They'll tolerate some lip lashes from verbal assaults out of politicians when they know the substance of policies to their net advantage. Until we hit their banks and we kill the people who are trying to kill us by fentanyl or otherwise, then the Chinese are going to sit back and say, we got this.
Ooh, this is going to be... This is scary to watch. We're on a bumpy ride. We definitely are. Our good friend Stephen Yates, as always, at Yates Comms. I'm telling you, you got to go and check out everything that he puts up daily. I know you have a whole bunch of stuff that you do. All the links are out there at Yates Comms on X. Stephen, always good to see you. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Dana. Take care.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think in many ways, it's the exception that proves the rule. If the only thing that they can find about Tim Walz to complain about is to disparage his military record that was clearly honorable. Remember, you can retire at 20 years. Tim Walz served for 24.
That's not the issue being debated, though, Secretary Poot. That's not the issue that's being debated. The issue is being debated is whether or not he was an E-9, which he wasn't. He lied and misrepresented his service. He even put it on his challenge coin. I mean, he was telling everybody that he was in combat. Like, he didn't just say that he, you know, served. He said that he was in combat. And he had people that introduced him as being a combat veteran, and he never corrected them. He put his rank that he's claiming that he doesn't have on his congressional challenge coin. The problem is that he lied and misrepresented his service. He denigrated his own service by misrepresenting it. And when other people pointed out the discrepancy, it's not the problem of the other people who are pointing out that this guy lied. Quit covering for the ass of this Midwestern dad who lied about his service because he apparently didn't feel it was impressive enough. That's the issue at hand here. So we're not going to be gaslit into thinking, well, you can't point out that the guy lied. And by the way, it's not everyone else that's pointing out his service. It's the people, his own commander, his battalion commander that's pointing this out, who wrote a very lengthy response. I mean, Secretary Booty Juice might, you know, maybe would want to listen to the guy that outranks him. I mean, the guy that, you know, it was his commander who said, yeah, this is what he did. The moment that they were called to serve, he left. And then he misrepresented it. He could have just left it as he left, and then he could have not inflated his rank or falsely claimed that he was in war, and that would have been fine. The reason we have the issue is because he did those things. That is why we're even talking about this at all. If he had just retired, people probably would have been like, oh, yeah, you know, he kind of left this guy, and they would have left it at that. But he not only did that, he then lied about it and then misrepresented himself on top of it. That is why people are taking issue with this. So do not continue to insult people by misrepresenting his misrepresentations. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is he our president still, Biden?
Oh, yeah, that guy, he's here.
Is he still president? All right, just checking. Juan, this is cut number 12, right? Yeah. Okay, currently Democrats are in power.
Mm-hmm.
Biden was asked about the transfer of power. Listen to what he says here.
Are you confident that there will be a peaceful transfer of power in January 2025?
If Trump wins, no, I'm not confident at all.
What? If Trump wins, I'm not confident.
Okay, but as Kane pointed out, he's the one who is transferring power. Right. So is Biden saying, I'm going to get violent? Is that what he's saying?
Right.
Is Biden saying that he's going to get violent? That's what Dems the rules, Kane.
Yep.
So that's what I'm hearing. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.